everyone. Thanks so much for tuning into our podcast. We hope that you find encouragement today as you listen.
Now, I want to qualify something. I went in my office a little bit early this morning. I got a text from somebody and said, how should we remove this snow? I said, snow. There was no snow when I went in my office. So I think, I have a father-in-law from Texas, and he is born and bred Texan, and he comes up about once a year. It's so good to have Grandpa Zane with us. But he's always, as soon as he gets here, he starts looking out the window if there's not already snow. And he's looking, is it snowing yet? And so if there's someone to blame for this, we can probably blame Grandpa Zane, okay? And I was thinking about some of the songs that we sing, and I love the hymns. I mean, these are beautiful hymns this morning. The worship team did a great job. And this is the best time of the year, especially Christmas Eve. And this is Christmas Eve day to be able to sing these hymns. And they're so meaningful, and they're so filled with truth of what God did. But now I like the Christmas carols as well. And I love Bing Crosby's I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, right? I won't sing it for you, I promise. But I love that song, love the movie. And now we've got a little bit of that here. I don't know if you were dreaming. For a lot of us who kind of grew up in this part of the world and were, you know, the joy of moving that white fluffy stuff around. It's kind of okay in November, December, but January and February, and then those March and April snowstorms start to really get crazy. And so maybe our favorite Bing Crosby song is Melakalikimaka. And I'll sing that for you. Ready? Melakalikimaka is the thing to say on a bright, sing with me, Hawaiian Christmas Day. Come on, just believe you're there. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm tree sway. Oh, here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars. Here comes Elvis. Oh, the Melakalikimaka is a highest way to say a Merry Christmas. Okay, so that's it. Oh, no. That was a bad Elvis. You just feel bad for me. But that probably, for those of us born and raised in this part of the world, that's the kind of song that really gets us excited. Even though we don't live there, we kind of dream of being there some cold December or January days, right? So, but whether you're dreaming of snow, or it's a nightmare, or swaying palm trees, Christmas can be a time of dreaming, and I want to talk a little bit this morning about Christmas dreaming, and specifically, I got to tell you a story about this woman who had a dream, and she told her husband she dreamed of opening a gift on Christmas, and it was a beautiful diamond necklace. And her husband responded positively, and a few days later, he presented her with a beautifully wrapped Christmas gift, and man, she took it, and she looked at just the right size, and she's opening it up. You know, she's just dreaming of what it's going to look like, you know. And all she found inside was a small book entitled How to Interpret Your Dreams. That's about the time, if you've seen that one internet thing that goes around, how you end up in the coffin, and the things like you say to your wife, have you gained a few pounds? And next thing you know, the guy's in a coffin, you know. That would probably put you in a coffin. Don't say that or do that, I should say, to your wife, all right? But Christmas is a great time to dream and to believe. For dreams to come true. But it can also be a difficult time for a lot of people, and we need to be aware of this as well. Unfulfilled goals and dreams, they often can cause heartache during this season. A present reality, some may be experiencing a financial shortfall or loss of job or loss of family member, and so the holiday almost can accentuate the pain and the grieving or the sadness. And there's been studies that have shown that many people go through very dark times emotionally in the month of December. But what I believe we have to grab a hold of today as followers of Jesus is a feeling, or maybe the power of that first environment in which God entered our scene, that first Christmas that was filled with dreams and visions. David Wilkerson, who is the who wrote the book The Cross and the Switchblade, and started what's called Teen Challenge. It's a ministry to those who are struggling with addictions, and it's an amazing ministry that's been going on for over 50 years now. He once said that never underestimate the power of a dream. And I don't want us to underestimate what I want to talk about here for a moment is the power of dreams and how it can affect our lives this morning. And the first one that I want you to see, and I want you to hear this. There's four types of dreams, and that first one, as you see right there, is a dream of assurance. When Joseph received the news of Mary's pregnancy, he would have been shattered if you understood the culture and what was going on. And it was a desperate time for him, and probably in a desperate heart condition, God gave him a dream. And here's what it says. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, was faithful. I like that. And yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, and he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, you need to understand something if you don't know this. Some translations where we just read that he was pledged, the word would be betrothed. And it was a different culture then, and the betrothing process, it was like an engagement that had the weight of marriage. But you weren't married yet. You didn't live together. You were separate. But for several months, you had like this certificate, and you were more than engaged. I mean, it was engagement on Red Bull. In fact, it was so intense that you could, if something happened, you could divorce that person, and it kind of almost had the same weight as marriage. They just hadn't come together in a public ceremony or covenant. And you can imagine the feelings of deep rejection when Joseph finds out that Mary is with child, and his world would probably have been turned upside down. But the scripture goes on to say, after he had considered this, and what he considered was, is that he'd put her away quietly, they wouldn't make a big thing about it by law. The Mosaic law said that that person could be put out, but even it could be a death penalty for some of these sins. And so it was a whole different world, a whole different time, but he's being careful and he loves her. Even though he's not understanding what's going on, he's going to do it quietly to care for her and to protect her. It says, but he had considered this. An angel of the Lord appeared to him at this time in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Boy, that must have been assuring for him, huh? Even though I'm sure he couldn't wrap his mind around it. And Joseph went from the scenario of possible divorce to being an earthly father of just not a child, but of God visiting us, the Messiah, who the Jewish people had waited for many years. And the scripture goes on to say, she'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Wow. Joseph's dream fulfilled. I mean, it filled him, I'm sure, with tremendous assurance. God was in this. In fact, goes on to say, he will be called Emmanuel. We see that first in the Old Testament, means God with us. I'm sure God just showed up in the midst of Joseph's turmoil at that point. All those emotions, he felt the presence of God. God began to make himself real in this through this dream of assurance. The Greek word for Jesus is the same as the Old Testament rendering Hebrew word of Joshua. And that's why some of your more those who maybe follow closer to a messianic type of a faith in Christianity, they don't call him Jesus, they call him Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua is Joshua, and it means the Lord saves. And here we see the scripture saying, because he's going to save his people from all their sin. So Joseph was assured not only that God was with him in the process, but he was also at work saving him in his condition, in his situation. And I think we need to be encouraged today in the same way, that God is with us and that the Lord saves. Now, an illustration, and some of you, we have some visitors here today. You may not be aware of this, and some may be here, but and visiting after being away for a time. Christmas, we get to come together, and it's a great time for family and friends to reconnect. But about 6 months ago, we kind of entered a journey as a family that was a little overwhelming. Debbie was diagnosed with a form of cancer, and it was a very troubling first few days as we went from doctor's appointment to doctor's appointment. And I'll never forget that first week when it went from this scan to this meeting to then, yep, this is what it is, and then planning on what needs to happen. There'll be some surgery and then all the therapy and such. And just the emotional, It was like a tsunami emotionally for Debbie and I and for the children and those of you who were praying for us. And I'll never forget, Debbie said, "Brian, I was there in that," and because she went the first time by herself, and when they let her know that, yeah, this is what it looks like, we've determined that this there's a growth here and this is what it is. And it's like the Holy Spirit just downloaded in her heart Psalm 23. Okay, now we don't run around the house, we know it from childhood. So we don't run around the house, and it's not posted anywhere, in our home at least, but we just know it, you know, from childhood. And that's the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he leads me beside still waters. And he guides our paths. And though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's that verse that the Lord just downloaded in Debbie's heart. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear evil. Because the shepherd is there with us, and his rod and his staff, they comfort us. What a great picture. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how intense it gets around us, no matter what the prognosis or the diagnosis or what the boss says or what happens to us in relationship, the fact is, in Christ, he doesn't leave us. When other friends are walking out the door, Jesus is coming in, or he never left. He was always there. And Debbie found, in a very profound way, just comfort in that scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. He walks with me in the valley. His staff kind of leads us and guides us and keeps us from going over the cliff. And the rod beats off the wolves, all right? And there's some emotional and some spiritual wolves that happen when we hit these dark places, isn't there? And so we were, this is all in the course of a week, and we're having a little family lunch, and we're over at Chick-fil-A, because that's where you go for family lunches. And the daughters are there, and we're at comfort food, you know. We're not eating salad either, those big waffle fries, and we're just having a time. And we're leaving the restaurant with our Arnold Palmer sweet tea, half lemonade and half tea. And we're walking out, and they've got this little table there, and there's a Bible open at Chick-fil-A, and there's a glass and a plate. It's kind of saying this is what the table should be like, that our tables should have a Bible at the center in our homes where we eat, okay? I think that's what they're saying. But I walk by, and I look at the scripture, and it's Psalm 23. Now, there's a lot of pages, you know, thousands of pages it could have been turned to, but open right there was, I said, Debbie, you got to see this. The assurance that God gives us. It wasn't just 2,000 years ago. It wasn't something that just happened there in the hills of Judea, 4 or 5 miles from Jerusalem, for a guy or in Nazareth at that time, just to, you know, to give peace to his crisis. The God of the universe still breathes peace and assurance into our lives, and I want you to be encouraged by that today. We are assured time and again that he is Emmanuel, God with us. You know, sometimes it can also be a warning. The Magi, the wise men, you know, they were from Persia, maybe modern day Iraq, it's believed. We don't know for sure, but they came from the east, the Orient, somewhere over there east of Israel. They were traveling from the east following an astronomical sign, a star in the sky. They stopped by Jerusalem and asked where the king of the Jews would be born. And the scripture tells us there in Matthew that all of Jerusalem kind of went through the streets. Hey, these guys are coming from somewhere else asking where the king of the Jews is born. And they'd seen a star rise and they called it his star. And Herod, who was the king, he was a puppet king placed by the Roman government. He got a little ticked off because he was the king of the Jews, and what's going on here? He didn't show his cards right away, but he called the religious leaders to get some answers and find out what were these magi, these wise guys on camels or whatever they were riding, come into town. What could you bring some clarity? Because he wasn't the most spiritual man probably in the group or on the block. And so finally, he invites the Magi together. Now, his palace was a little bit of a distance from Jerusalem, but he probably came into Jerusalem or maybe had him up to a palace and said, hey, we've learned that it's in Bethlehem. That's real close to here, you know, probably closer than from here to Sun Prairie is Bethlehem from Jerusalem. But go down. This is what the prophets, this is what the priests have told us, I should say, that the prophets have foretold that he would be born in Bethlehem. So go and find him. Search carefully. And when you find him, would you please come back here and let me know about him? Because I want to come and worship him too. Right. And in fact, here's then what happens. The wise men go down, find him in Bethlehem, and they worship him and give him all kinds of beautiful gifts. And then, having been warned in a dream, here are these dreams and these warnings. Don't go back to Herod. They returned another direction. They didn't go through Jerusalem. They went another route to get back home to the east. Well, we know why it plays out, because Herod was a wicked man, and he did not want to come and worship. He wanted to destroy that life because he was paranoid, and he was, I mean, just the history of that guy is, I don't have time to tell you, but he was wigged out, okay? And then the very next verse there in Matthew chapter 2, it says, and when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared. Here comes Joseph again. He had more dreams than any guy I have ever known. Get up, he said, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to try to kill him. So maybe some of us could, bring it into the 21st, into our world, into our zip code, so to speak. Maybe some of us could be in need of a warning from the Lord during this season. He still warns us, church. He really does. Maybe there's poor decisions that we're making, or that we've made, and we need to be careful the path that we're walking. Maybe this path is taking us in a direction that could be detrimental to our lives or spirit. Maybe he's warning us concerning an action or an activity that's going to affect us or family that we love. And this is a great season of the year and in our lives to hear warnings and to understand that God is wanting to lead and direct us in that respect and to warn us. Which leads us to this next one. It's just a natural flow, and that is the dream of guidance, okay? And Joseph was guided to Egypt. He went down to Egypt, and we see this in Matthew 2, verse 13, through a dream. Then he guided him back to Israel after Herod had died, and then also guided him up to the city, the town of Nazareth, not to Bethlehem, but beyond to be safe. And so there's a couple dreams working even after the assurance, and that's the area of warning and guidance. And here you see it. It's in verses 19 and 20 of chapter 2. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So everyone needs guidance. Every one of us needs guidance. Not just at Christmas time, but especially as we enter into this new year. Every new year can be a new season for us. And it's a great time to really get on track if we've kind of taken a little bit of a left when we were supposed to be going right. We need guidance in our individual lives. We need it in our families. We need it for our churches. God is still in the divine guidance business. This isn't something he just quit doing after, the first Christmas drama and story. And I would ask this morning, if we had time, to just go around and say, when did you feel just the direct leading of the Lord in your life? I remember my family's here from, I think they made it in this morning with the snow, but we're all here together as a family. My three older brothers and both my sisters are here and their families and children, grandchildren, my nephews and grandchildren from my parents. But I remember a time way back in the mid-70s to late 70s, when I was trying to figure out what I was to do with my life, and I was sure that I was supposed to go to the college where my brother and my older brother graduated from, and the brother closest to me was attending, and I really felt like I was on track, and I was going to go down to Oklahoma and attend college there. And then I got that letter, that dreaded letter that told me that I wasn't accepted. I didn't qualify high enough on the SAT test. I blame it on the pizza I had the night before. I rolled in with a yeast over hangover. And anyway, I think it was more brain problems. There's more problems with the brain cells than with my digestive. But the point is, I was rejected, and I felt horrible. I didn't know what I was going to do because I didn't have a plan B. They had suggested the letter that I maybe take some classes maybe at the community college and then reapply. And I was just wrecked. I'm 18 years old, and I think I know what I want to do with my life. And God had another plan, all right? God was leading me even in that. When you think of Egypt isn't necessarily the destination. Now, today we'd like to go to Egypt to see the beautiful Sphinx and the pyramids. But if you're an Israeli, if you're a Jewish man or woman, Egypt necessarily wouldn't be your destination place. You want to get out of Egypt. Historically, they were in bondage there for over 400 years. And so Egypt was kind of the place where I was at. I was not in a good place. And I remember that winter, how dark it was in my life. And I was building aluminum storm doors in Cottage Grove and doing construction stuff. And it's just cold. And then I got laid off that job. They didn't fire me. They ran out of money. They wouldn't pay me. They told me to go home. And so now I'm really discouraged, right? But the interesting thing was, all of this, as I look back now, was God's leading, because my dad said, "Brian, I heard about this school in Dallas," and I called him and filled out some forms, and the next thing you know, I'm flying to Dallas, and that was my destiny. That was where God was leading me, and he took me out of Egypt here for a season, and he took me to that place where that next step in my life was, and I can track exactly how God was in it, but it didn't make sense to me. I wanted to be in Oklahoma. That's where the fun was. That's where my brothers went. They're the smart ones, you know. And I just wanted to go. And that was my desire. But God has a way of even today guiding us in our dreams and guiding us in our lives in such a way that it doesn't always feel right, but it's right because it's His. He's the one leading. I'm not saying, "Hey, Jesus, follow me. I'm going here today." As we mature in Christ, we're waiting, saying, "Lord, where are you going today? I want to follow." That's what divine guidance is about. So, last point I think that's worth seeing this morning is that a dream or a vision has the potential of the miraculous. And two miracles took place in this first story, the first Christmas. First, Elizabeth, who is beyond childbearing years, she has a visitation and she has a dream and the Lord tells her that she's going to have a child. And it's going to be John the Baptist, who's a heavy hitter in the New Testament, if you read it. This guy was the forerunner of Jesus. He was also a relative of Jesus because Elizabeth is related to Mary. But John the Baptist was very strategic in Jesus' day when Jesus entered the scene. He's the one that baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, right? But the angel comes to Elizabeth and says, "You are going to have a child." And then the other amazing miracle is this little, maybe 15 years old, maybe 14, 16, but this little maiden Mary, who the angel visits her and says, "You're going to have a child. And it's not going to be of man. This has never happened before. It's never happened since. But the Holy Spirit supernaturally planted life in this." I mean, that sounds science fiction, doesn't it? Inside the womb. That's what we understand the scripture to say. And that's what we understand the story of Jesus. And that's how the Creator God became flesh, is through a woman and through supernatural process of birth and gestation. And both instances, God did the impossible, a barren woman and a virgin young girl. And here's what the scripture says there in verse 37. At the end of that whole context, says, nothing is impossible with God. Whether it's Elizabeth, whether it's young Mary, whether it's your battle, your physical need, whether it's something emotionally where you've hit, whether it's a marriage or a relationship, whether it's a job, whatever it is, the same God is speaking that over our lives today at this Christmas. Nothing is impossible with Him. I like that. That's good news. Someone said the day of miracles is not past because the God of miracles, God of miracles, is still present. The God that does those miracles is still with us today. So, as I conclude this morning, many of you may be in need of a touch from the Lord, I just want you to know, we'll pray for you. We will agree with you that God would move on your behalf, and we will rejoice with you when He does, for sure. You may identify this morning with one of the dreams in this season of your life. You know, wherever you're at, it may be God warning you, you're going a direction, and you just sense, even from this message, it's a confirmation. Man, I need to change paths. I need to go a different direction. I need to get back on track. Beautiful. That's maybe what the dream is telling you today, the dream of warning. Or it might be that of just, you know, the area of a miracle like we talked about, or that of guidance, just giving you a direction. You maybe don't know exactly where your next step is supposed to be or that next direction that you're supposed to move into. God still divinely leads us. Open up your heart. Open up your mind. Finally, I just want you to hear again. I want you to see this scripture. The angel said, she will give birth to a son. The angel said this to Joseph, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. He'll be present. He'll be God present with you in your life, in your circumstances. Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus. The Lord saves. Saves from what? The angel made it really clear. From our sins. When I go my way, when I turn my back on what God has called me to do or be, the Bible makes that really clear. It's not a political correct word, but it's sin in our lives. It's that which separates us from God. There's all kinds of lists, but I don't want to mention lists. I just want you to know, if you're separated from God, if you know you're not in that right place, in that right relationship with the living God today, this message is for you on this Christmas Eve day. It really is. I'm going to have you stand up. You don't have to run down to the altars. That's a beautiful picture. No, stay seated. You don't have to stand up. You're so used to me having you stand up. No, right where you're at, just bow your heads with me. I just want to pray before we close here. If you're here today and you need the assurance of your relationship with the Lord and you are at a place where you realize you've tried your way and it's led you in a direction that you feel distant from God, you don't feel as though you are in a right relationship with the Lord, sin does that, it separates us. But I love what the scriptures teach us. It's if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all the unrighteousness, all the sin, the brokenness, the wrong choices. He forgives us, and then we have this opportunity to walk into him and to be born from above, to get fresh start, new beginnings. The Apostle Paul wrote to the first church at Corinth, and he said, one of his letters to Corinth, I should say, and he said, if you're in Christ, if any man or woman be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. The old things have passed away. It's like there's just a transformation that happens. That's the assurance that the angel was giving Joseph on that first Christmas day, Eve, story, narrative. And if you're here today, I just want to pray with you. Maybe just with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I just want to pray right where you're at. Just lift up your hand if you want to just surrender to Christ, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ today, if you want to, I like how Jesus said, follow me. That's what he told his disciples. Follow me. If you want to follow him and be assured of that great salvation, that he would cleanse us, as beautiful as the snow is this morning, there's nothing more brilliant than that, the whiteness in that snow. And the prophet said, though our sins may be as red as scarlet, there's nothing more deep and red than a scarlet cloth or blood. But the scripture says if we receive Christ's gift, if we confess our sins and surrender to him, that our sins are cleansed as white as snow. If you're here today and you just want to surrender to the Lord, make that your first, just before New Year's Day, you just want to say, I want to start my New Year's this morning by surrendering to the Lord. Just slip your hand up. I want to pray with you right where you're at. Just slip it up. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. You can put it down. Anybody else? Just want to pray for you right where you're at. Anyone else? Just want to pray for you. Okay. Just pray this prayer. We can all pray it together. Lord Jesus. Thank you for your gift of life. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross.
And your great sacrifice for us. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me, Lord. Cleanse my heart, Lord. Jesus, I surrender to you this day. I choose to follow you, Lord. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. 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 I love that prayer. It's a simple prayer. so simple that a child can understand it. And those of us who are older, we can come, we can embrace it as well. This is a gift we want to give you as you leave this morning. If you're visiting and you prayed that prayer, it's just a New Testament, and it's a wonderful way to get started. Jump in the book of John and just spend the first few weeks of the new year just reading the Gospel of John. It'll refresh you as the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scripture to you. Connect with a church here or another community of faith. We need each other to grow. We're connected in this body. We need one another for accountability and for prayer and just to protect one another as we grow in the Lord. So we encourage you to do that as well. Listen to this song, and then I have something really special that we're gonna close with here. Just a second, okay?
Thanks for listening to our podcast. For more information about our church, check out our website at www.ridgeway.church.